Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, you may be seated. Take the limit off of me. Remove all limitations. Don't limit me, says the Lord, by your bank balance, by your education, by your nationality, by your sex, by how old you are or how young you are. Take the limit off of me. I called you. I knew you. I know your uprisings, your down sittings, your in and outs. I know everything that you're going through. I know your fears and your anxieties, and all of these things that you feel will keep you from my power and my greatness and my glory. I'm telling you, take the limits off of me. I'm working in you. I'm working a work. I am doing what you can't do in you and through you. You are going to see a mighty, mighty transformation. There's coming a faith level. There's coming a faith level that will rise in you that will eclipse your doubts, eclipse your fears, eclipse your worries and your discouragement. It is time to lift up your voice and shout, because you are the apple of my eye. You are my beloved. You are my precious ones. Yes, put up your hands and praise the Lord and shout with a shout of victory. Hallelujah.
Oh. You know, so much of those limits are the words that we say. You know, when Jesus went to his own hometown, they were looking at him saying, isn't this that? Didn't he used to be that kid that used to run around here? Isn't he that carpenter? You know, sometimes we just say the limits that we have are because we say over our own lives, man, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. Or, well, even maybe it will. Maybe it will. But one of the things that we need to start saying is, God, you're so great, you can do anything. That's how we take the limits. You are able, God. So God, we just take the limits off. We say you are greater, God. You are able. You are powerful. There is no circumstance in our lives that is too big for you. There is no relative too far off that you can't reach. There is no bank account so low that you can't reach up and dig in and give us prosperity, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are able. Thank you, God. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Take a teaching outline. There's one next to you on the chair, and if you can't find it, you may be sitting on it, and that's all right, because it's durable. It's made of good paper. All right, and we have this for you so that you can follow along the verses and fill in as you're joining us, if you're with us in the auditorium. So glad you're here. Many people are joining us today online. We're excited about our growing live online community, so you can web stream, live stream us by joining the auditorium, and we have a whole group of people out in the cafe and in the family lounge as well. So welcome, everybody. Let's get started. Today's message extends the story that I began to talk about last Sunday. I want to build on something that I've already begun to share, and I know that many of you were not able to be here last Sunday, so I'll repeat a little bit, but I would ask you, those of you, especially leaders in our church and in our community, if you're a small group leader, an elder, you're an intercessor, or you're just interested in what God is saying to our church, please go to our website and listen to last Sunday's message, because I started with a story. And I want to kind of continue that story, but I want you to get the full story. And the story began for me on May 1st, just a few weeks ago, at my home, and I had an encounter with God. Now, I'm not trying to sound spooky. I'm not trying to sound like I'm somebody better than anybody else. I'm just telling you that God talks to people, and the Holy Spirit sets something on my heart in very clear terms, and I describe it in detail in the message that's on our website from last Sunday. The bottom line of this message is that God wanted to increase our spiritual family and stretch us out into a wider profile in our community and also into other cities. And that message that I shared last Sunday is called 10 Cities, a Multi-Site Vision to reach out. In other words, reaching out beyond just San Jose to believe God for influence in other cities. Well, of course, we've always been a church that's influenced cities. That's not really new, but God is giving us some kind of meat on the bones. We've got our campus in Santa Rosa. They're alive and well. We're adding a new campus in Clovis. We're becoming one with these beautiful people that you just met and so many more in the area of Clovis and Fresno. I believe that's really a God thing. And who knows where else God may be asking us over the next coming years to touch cities and reach out to other communities. One of the verses that became real to me in that exchange with God was Luke chapter 19, which is a beautiful passage. You should take the time to read the whole chapter, which is where Jesus is talking about a story that he created, a parable, where he talked about what he does with faithful people. When he gives people something small, and when they're faithful with it, then he rewards them and he increases it to them. It's a beautiful chapter, and really the message for us today is it's not really about what you don't have in your life. Don't think about all the things that you wish you had. Don't think about all the things that you don't have. You might say, well, I don't have money. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I don't have my own business. I don't have children. Don't think about the things you don't have. Think instead about the things you do have. And be faithful with those things. Because when you are faithful with those things, the whole point of that 19th chapter is that God will bless you and increase you and trust you with more. Well, in this encounter that I had with God, this verse became really real to me. And it's from that 19th chapter of Luke and from that very story. And these are the words that kind of popped out and hit me right in the face. And that was this: because you have been faithful in a very small matter, you will have authority in what? In 10 cities. Now, I'm just saying God is talking to me about multiple cities. And he's saying that I want you, David Canastracy, I want you, Gateway City Church, not just to think about San Jose. You're thinking about San Jose. You're loving this city. But I have other places where I'm going to trust you to have influence. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not just go into one city. He said, go into all the world and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. So God's got this enormous heart for cities. And I shared in the message last week about this interesting word, Decapolis, which actually means 10 cities. I'm not going to re-preach that message. You can go back and listen to it. But when I say Decapolis, I want you to think about a place where Jesus went, where there was a tremendous harvest of souls, where there was a great response to his ministry. It was a region of 10 cities, and there was a great discipleship movement that was born, and that many thousands and thousands of people came to faith when Jesus visited Decapolis. So that's kind of the inspiration for us today in thinking, Lord, what do you have for us to do? I believe he would say, I want you to not just think about your own city, but think about cities beyond this city. And I believe God is giving us authority. Now, why? That sounds kind of highfalutin. That sounds like, wow, you know, you're going to take over cities. It's not really as crazy as it sounds. First of all, we're not taking over anything. We just want to influence other places. And that's really the heart of the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you'd say, but Pastor, are you saying that, you know, God is promoting you, or that God is promoting Gateway somehow, or that you've been so great, now God's going to do this? That is not at all what I'm saying. In fact, as the Lord has stretched out my heart to think about other cities and to think about maybe expanding what we're doing in the world, it's humbled me. It's actually scared me a little bit. It's made me nervous. And I've said, Lord, I feel like my plate is full, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't know if I'm trained for this, and I don't know, you know, if this is really going to work. I mean, are you sure you've got the right guy? Are you sure, you know, that you want to do more? I mean, 10 times more than we're doing, that sounds like a lot. That sounds kind of intimidating. It makes me nervous and scared. And Lord, what would you say about that? And I felt like the Lord gave me this verse as well, and I hope this verse ministers to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, where Paul the Apostle says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. What do you think about that? It says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Not that we are adequate of ourselves. Not that we're somebody special, or that, you know, we're so clever, or our IQ is so high, or we're so popular that now, you know, we're just going to, you know, act like we're all that in a bag of chips. That's not it at all. Well, our knees are knocking and we're saying, Lord, if you're calling us to do this, we're going to trust in you. And I felt like I remember that scripture from the book of Philippians, where Paul encouraged us with these words, I can do all things through what? Christ that strengthens. So how does this work for you? Okay, I'm talking a little bit about me and our mission as a church, but how does this work for you? You're leading a blended family, or you've just started your own business, or you'd like to build a family, but you're having some challenges in that. You'd like to buy a home, or you'd like to do better in your education life. You'd like to do better in your spiritual life, your physical life. Maybe you've got some health issues going on. Not that you are competent of yourself, but your competency comes from God. Everyone say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can be a father through the power of Christ. I can learn business through the power of Christ. We can touch a city through the power of Christ. Amen. And if we're too preoccupied with our own inadequacies, we got to get over that. We've got to take the ceiling off and say, Lord, you're able to do, you've been using weak people and foolish people. The Bible says God has chosen the foolish and the weak to confound the wise, so that when something does succeed, everybody looks at it and goes, there ain't no way that happened because of that guy. That is clearly the hand of the Lord. And that has got to be the way we look at it. We say, Lord, I'm ready for you to use me, even me. This broken, insecure, nervous person, I will put my trust in you, God, and maybe something great will happen. So you take that for yourself and believe that God can use you right where you are. You can father your children. You can love a woman. You can build a business. You can earn a degree. You can do it, not in yourself, but in the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen on a June Sunday morning? I think we ought to take a praise break right about now and just say hallelujah. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So everyone here is going to be a part of this. This vision to reach cities, this vision to reach our city. We're not just tackling homelessness. We're tackling spiritual problems. We're tackling family problems. I mean, we have a very big God, and we believe that he can do all things. So we're tackling that not just in one city, but wherever the Lord calls us to do it. Now, in order to do that, we're going to have to work together. One person alone can't do a whole lot. But when people come together, there's power. When people come together, there is power. So God will give us the ability to do great things when we unite together. And how are we going to be able to do? How are we going to be able to do stuff in 10 cities? How many campus pastors would we need if we were going to take on? How many Sam Beckworths and Kim Beckworths would we need? How many worship teams would we need? Over the next 10 years, 20 years, whatever it would be, how many youth pastors and children's workers, how many ushers and elders, how many hundreds of intercessors, how are we going to touch cities? It's when everybody grabs their piece and says, hey, you know what? I'll be a part of this. God can use me too. And how would we get equipped and trained for something like that? Well, one thing we would do is be really faithful in the small things of our life. Because if you want to be promoted, if you want God to trust you with greater things, you got to come back to those little things that are in your hand right now and be faithful to those. So if you're playing drums like Myro, praise God for a faithful drummer. Just being faithful. Whatever you're doing for God, show up on time, do it with all your heart, be faithful, and watch what God will do for you. But then think about Impact School of Ministry, our own school. We've graduated hundreds of graduates, prepared hundreds of leaders. We've been doing this for a long time, raising people up. And now Pastor Carol Cobb is helping us this year to take Impact to another level. You guys need to think about Impact School of Ministry. Do I need to take a class? Can I get enrolled? Can I be prepared for my place in this mighty opportunity that God is raising up through this church? Now, none of this makes a lot of sense unless God loves cities, right? None of this means a whole lot. Outreach, the Great Commission, touching people, seeing people healed, seeing people saved, discipling people. None of it really makes a lot of sense in cities unless God has a feeling about cities. And I want to tell you something. God has a feeling about cities. So in your notes, I want you to look at the title of what I want to share with you today is God's Heart for Cities. I want you to think deeply with me this morning. We're going to look at the scripture. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to you. You're going to grow today in your knowledge and understanding of who God is and what he loves and what he likes. At the end of the message, I'm going to ask Pastor Sam and Kim to come forward and say hello to you. And we're going to pray together over Clovis, and we're going to pray together over this church, and we're going to pray together over lives. But let me share just a few simple thoughts about God and his big heart for cities. God has a huge heart for cities. Look at Psalms 107, verse 6 and 7. It says, in their misery they cried out to the Lord, and he saved them from their troubles. He led them on a straight road to a what? To a city where they could live. What this is saying is that God brings people to cities in order to bless them. Now, you might think, well, I got to get out of the city. Cities are a problem. Cities are terrible. Cities are full of poverty, and cities are full of crime, and cities have bad people, and they're crowded, and they have traffic jams. But you know what? The reason why there is cities to begin with is because we need each other. If you could see cities kind of like families. Now, a lot of our cities are broken. They're not working really well, just like a lot of our families are. But what was God's idea? God said, I want to bring together places in the earth where people come into community, and they help each other, and they have hospitals, and they have love, and they have education, and they have places where people's lives can get better. I'm inventing cities. You see, the devil didn't invent cities. And don't give up on cities, by the way. Don't condemn cities. You know, we have a lot of like Old Testament ideas in our lives about, in our kind of in our corporate psyche about, you know, fire and brimstone down on cities. And they've been telling us in California, by the way, I love California, right? How many love California? And everybody's been prophesying California's going to fall off into the ocean, and we're wicked, we're Sodom, we're Gomorrah, you know, and all that. I got to tell you something. God loves California. I got a lot of relatives in California, and we're not going into the ocean. And we love Jesus. And there's good people in California, right? And God loves all people. So let's not give up on cities like cities are a problem. I need to get out of this place. I need to get out of the city. God says, I lead people into the city. I bring them into the city. And that's where I heal them and bless them and help them. I want you to think about 75%. That is 3 out of every 4 people alive on planet Earth today live in cities. And so if God doesn't love cities, we're in trouble. God has a heart for cities, he has a plan for cities, and he wants to work in cities. So let me give you this first point. Number one, God loves cities, and he wants us to love cities. God wants us to love our city. In the book of Jonah, which is a great story, think about whale. Remember the story of Jonah? He was a guy who God wanted him to do a job, which was to preach to a city, by the way. I want you to go to Nineveh, which was a wicked city. I want you to go there, and I want you to tell them about my mercy and my love. And Jonah says, I don't want to do it. I don't like Ninevites. They're irksome people. Jonah was actually a racist. If you want to know the truth, go back and read the book of Jonah, and you will find out. If you do the history and the study, you'll find out he didn't like Ninevites. And so he got in a boat and went the opposite direction, and that's when he encountered the fish. Remember that? God wasn't very happy. Listen, God doesn't get really happy with us when he says, I want you to turn right, and then instead you turn left. God has a way of bringing you all the way around to where he wants you to be. Can I have an amen here, somebody? So Jonah finally gets to Nineveh, and, you know, he does a good job. I mean, he's a good preacher, but he's got this anger in his heart. He preaches to the people, and he's not really pro-Nineveh. He's got an attitude, a chip on his shoulder, and he's kind of unhappy. But he's willing now to obey God. So he preaches, and the whole city comes to faith. They all repent of their sins, and they all come to God. And Jonah gets his nighty in a knot. Jonah is mad at God, and he says, I knew that you were a God of love, and I knew you were a God of kindness, and I knew that if I shared your message with these people, that they would get right with you, and now you're going to save them, and instead of judging them and destroying this city, you're going to bless this city, and I'm uptight about it. It's literally what Jonah said. And here's God's answer to Jonah. This is a great book. You got to read it. But here's God's answer. He says, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, God says to Jonah, not to mention all the animals. He says, shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? In other words, he's saying to Jonah, Jonah, I love this city and you hate this city. Now, who is right? Are you right, Jonah, to hate 120,000 people that are in spiritual darkness? He says, I'm broken for this city. I love this city. In fact, the grammar of this in the Hebrew, when it says that shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city, actually means shouldn't I weep? God says to Jonah, this reluctant prophet, shouldn't I weep for this city? Am I wrong to weep for this city? And it's, I think, the Holy Spirit would say to us today, are you weeping for your city, or are you trying to get out of your city? Do you hate the people of this city? Oh, we got to get rid of all these kind of people that are coming in here. We got to get them out. We got to get all these young people, all these Asian people, all these black people. We got to get them out. All these Democrats, all these Republicans, we got to get them out. There's not room for all of us here. We just need to be a nice little city for just our kind of people. And God says, wait a minute, you're missing my heart. A city is a place for everybody to come together. However you vote and whatever your gender and whatever you look like and whatever your education, that's a place for all people to be together in love, helping each other, right? And so enough of this anger, enough of this hatred and this racism and all this stuff that's dividing us. Older people not liking younger people not liking older people, Hispanic people not liking Korean people, not liking black people, not liking white people, not liking Trump people, not liking Hillary people. Everybody is fighting against everybody else. And God says, look, I'm Lord of all. Now here's what I want. I want you all to get together, get along, work it out, and help the people. Help the people. I want you to love your city. And God calls us to love our city. It says he wept. And you know what? Jesus also wept. Did you ever read in Luke chapter 19, the same chapter we started on, where Jesus wept over the city. He loves the city. Our poor friends in San Francisco, everybody mocks San Francisco like it's a bad place to live. Our friends in Oakland, oh, you want to stay out of Oakland? When God looks at Oakland, he doesn't say, I want you to stay out of Oakland. He doesn't say, you should move to Dublin. That's a better city. He says, I love cities, not the freeways, not the power grids. I'm love the people, right? So he loves cities, and he wants us to love cities. Can I have an amen this morning? Loving cities is at the heart of our mission as a church. You say, Pastor David, why do you care about other cities? What's the big deal about this? We should just love our own city. Everybody should just love their own city. No, God loves all cities. And he wants to give us the strength to reach out as best we can. Whether it's touching homeless people or touching young people in schools and feeding programs or sharing the gospel, which is the most important task of any church, to share the good news that Jesus loves you. You see, why did he enter into Jerusalem to begin with? He went to Jerusalem to die on a cross for the sins of the whole world. This is how far he's willing to go for us. He didn't just feed the poor. He didn't just correct religious hypocrisy. He shed his blood. He gave everything. And he rose again, proving that he's the Son of God and that he is worthy to be followed. And so as we preach that gospel, as we share that good news that God loves people, that sins can be forgiven. See, this is our message. So yes, we're going to feed, we're going to help homeless, we're going to do all of that. But at the core of this is sharing the heart of the gospel, because the truth is we can fix our homeless problems, we can try to fix our school problems, we can try to fix our road problems, but until we fix our heart problems, we're just going to keep repeating the same problems over and over and over again in our society. The only hope for society is a heart that will change. You ought to shout hallelujah right there. And how many of you are glad your heart was changed by the Lord through the gospel, through his power? So this is how, and he's not done, by the way. He's still changing. He's still fixing us. He's getting our attitudes right and our hearts right, and he's teaching us to love. But we're on our way, praise the Lord. All right, God loves cities. He wants us to love cities. Second, God calls us to identify with cities. He calls us to identify with cities. We won't take time to read this whole passage in Jeremiah chapter 29. But if you go to the next slide, you'll see this key operative sentence in this. It says where, I want you to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile. Bless the city, pray for the city, seek the peace of the city. Now, what does this have to do with you and I? Because the children of Israel were carried away out of their homeland into a wicked city of Babylon, the worst city in the world. We still know the name Babylon as like synonymous, like with a very bad place. The children of Israel are dragged from Jerusalem and from the Holy Land into their city as captives. They're slaves now. And God says to them, here's what I want you to do. Plant vineyards, settle down, marry, you're going to be here for a while, and seek the peace of this city. Seek the peace of a wicked city? God, I thought you hate these people. I thought they're not like us. They don't pray like us. They don't think like us. They don't worship like us. They don't vote like us. How can we pray for them? And God says, settle down, get connected, identify with the city. Stop trying to live so separated that you don't talk to people, you don't connect to people, you don't love people, you don't care people. I want you to love people and get connected and get identified with the city. I could tell you a personal story. If I gave you all the details, it would take way too long, but years and years ago, Kathy and I moved out of our area. We were called as missionaries. We went to the Philippine Islands. We sold our home. And just after we sold our home, the biggest real estate boom ever in Santa Clara County happened. And our home that we sold for, I think, $125,000 in just the short year or two that we were gone, We came back to Santa Clara. Our church called us back home. Please come and help us with the church. So we packed up from the Philippines. We came home. We rolled up our sleeves and started working here in our church. And that same home that we had sold for $125,000 was now at about $475,000. And we weren't, I mean, we weren't even close to being able to afford that. And we had a 7 or 8 year journey with not owning a home. And we would cry and we would say, Lord, we had a home. And we went to serve you, and now we don't have a good place. We're in this tight, cramped condo, and our kids have to play in a backyard like the size of a doormat. Don't leave the backyard, Aaron. Don't leave the backyard, Jordan. How could they? There's nowhere to go. You could run a lap with one step. And seriously, I mean, as family people, we just cried out to God, God, are you going to help us get, I mean, how are we going to get back into this market? How are we going to be able to do it? And I'll never forget the moment, because our church used to be in Willow Glen, and at that time, we lived at Capitol and 101 East Side, and where the helicopters fly low, all right, right there. And so it was a Sunday morning. The sun was shining brightly. I was driving up 101. I was going across the 280 overpass to pick up 280 to head into Willow Glen to get to church. And I mean, the Holy Spirit, another... Look, if you think I'm somebody special, I'm not. Please believe me. You can encounter God right where you are. God loves you. He wants to talk to you. He wants his presence to fill your life. He wants to have a living relationship with you. I found a living relationship with Jesus when I was 14. I'd had a lifetime of church. But I found a relationship with God when I was 14. Changed my life. And God does. I'm not like a holy person. God talks to me. I have a relationship with him. That's real. And so I was on that overpass, and suddenly the presence of the Lord came, filled my car. I was looking at our city. You could see the skyline from there. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, do you love this city? Are you just asking for a house because you want a house? Or are you willing to make a commitment to this city? And I felt ashamed because I felt like what I had been willing to do was get a home. And what God was saying to me is, are you going to unpack and make this city your city? Because if this is your city, I'll give you a home in your city. But if you want to hold your nose and just leave this city at the first opportunity, then forget it. And I said, Lord, I'll commit to this city. I've been here ever since. I'm heart deep in San Jose. This is my city. I love this city. And within 1 year, God had done a miracle in our finances and opened a door for us, a total miracle. And we moved into a home through a complete miracle of God. And I believe it's because I unpacked my bags. I stopped trying to think of myself as a missionary. Maybe I'll just do San Jose for a while, but I'm sure God will take me back out as a missionary. Maybe I'll go to Africa. Maybe I'll go to China. And it was like the Lord was saying, look, this is your city. I want you to take ownership. This is where I'm putting you, and I'll give you a home here. And God gave us a home. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? He loves cities, and he wants us to identify with city. Well, I'm just in Clovis until I can find something better. Well, how about loving Clovis? Well, I'm just in Santa Rosa until something better opens up for me. Somebody's got to love some communities. Somebody's got to have a heart and a passion and say, you know what? This is my city. I care about the youth of this city. I care about the poor of this city. I care about the families of this city, the women of this city, the sexually broken of my city, the people that are confused and hurting and on drugs. I care about this city, not just the pretty people in this city, but all the people in this city. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about here? Well, I'm glad because I'm almost out of time. And I got to stop talking. He wants us to love cities. He wants us to identify with cities. And let's zoom ahead to the third one. If we can find number three, God calls us to reach cities. He doesn't want us just to love him and look at him. He wants us to roll up our sleeves and get involved with the pain and get involved with the hurt and get involved with the people and start praying and believing and working together. And you say, well, I don't vote like you do, Candace Tracy, and I don't look like you, and you're 55 and I'm 25, I'm hip and you're not. I got it. I know. But let's work together. Let's work together. I'm not a hipster. I'm just an old guy. All right. Thank you. Got a little extra emphasis here on the second row. I'm going to pray for you after the service, sister. Thank you. And we're going to work together, because by ourselves, we're nothing. But if we come together, there's power. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you want to see cities reached by the love of God? How many do? If you do, would you stand to your feet? Because we're going to pray. I want to ask Pastor Sam and Kim to come up and help me close the service here. I love the Beckworths. I love all the people in Clovis. We've been together now for, 8 years or so. I've been your pastor. Probably not a very good one, but anyway, I was the only one you had. And you see that illustration?
Yes.
Five by themselves, comes together, there's power. We're coming together, our elders, their leaders, and we're saying, by ourselves, we're okay. There's nothing wrong with the church in Clovis. They don't have to be a part of us. We just know that we can be better together. And the reason we want to do this is not just for Clovis, not just for San Jose, not just for Santa Rosa, but for wherever God may. You may have spiritual sons, Sam, in your church there that say, I got a vision for whatever. Name a city, I'll never forget about Pastor Chip is here in the audience. And he and I drove to Clovis. I think it was 2003, if I recall, when we were working on that loan. Remember that? And we came into the city. Do you remember when I said, did I say it to you or did I just feel it? I felt like I might have said, I think one day we'll have a church in Fresno. And I've never forgotten that. And it's not like I'm not trying to like start a kingdom, but here's what you got to do. You got to have a heart for certain cities. And I believe God is going to give us together hearts for cities. And your ministry isn't just for Clovis. I need your help. I need your help in Santa Rosa. I need your help wherever God is going to help us. All our pastors. We're going to do this together for the glory of God. Because you know what? I know I don't look it, but I'm 55. Don't be shocked. I had a teenager tell me a couple days ago, you look like you're 35. I said, I love you. You don't know much about life, but I love you. I'm 55. I'm going to live a long, long time. But I want all these years that are ahead of me to count for eternity. Because life is so short. If you've ever been to a funeral, you've already faced that reality. Life is short. And someday we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account to him. And I don't want to say to the Lord, Lord, I just felt like kicking it back in my lazy boy. What I want to be able to say is, I had a little bit. And I was faithful with it. I used it for the maximum increase. It multiplied because of your blessing, Lord. How many of you would like to say, Lord, I want to take the little bit I have and I want you to use me? If that's you, just lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give all of us a heart. You would give all of us a heart for this broken world. It's a broken world, and we can give up on it, and we can condemn it, we can get mad at people, but Lord, help that not to be our heart. Let our hearts be hearts of love, hearts to identify with cities, hearts to reach cities, Lord, and bind us together and make us one, Lord. Break the division between black and white and young and old and rich and poor and privileged and underprivileged, and Lord, take away all of those barriers and use us, God. Take the little that's in our hand and multiply it out for your purpose and your glory. I pray a blessing over the Beckworths and the family in Clovis, Lord, as we become one. Lord, do a Holy Spirit blending, Lord, of our lives, and so that we won't even be able to know where San Jose ends and Clovis begins. Lord, make us one, Lord. Make us one. Black and white and rich and poor and Southern California and Giants and Dodgers, whatever that's all about. Make us one, Lord. If we don't vote for the same people, if we don't root for the same team, make us one, Lord. Make us one. Make us one. Make us one, Lord. In Jesus' name. The worship team is going to come, and I want you to just take 2 minutes as we worship the Lord here. We're bringing the service to a close, but I want us to sing and allow the Holy Spirit just to talk to us. I mentioned a couple times how God talks to me. It's not every day. It's not every second. But maybe today God brought you to this place to talk to you. As we worship the Lord, can we just open our hearts to God for a few minutes? Come on, Whitney. Just stay with me. Just stay right here. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's sing God with us.
Yes. Hallelujah. Prayer teams, come, please.
God with
prayer workers,
us.
Altar teams, come.
God for us, nothing can come against. No one can stand between us.
God with us, God for us.
Nothing. Bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to close the service here, but I really feel like I want to pray for some people in this room that maybe you've been away from the Lord for a long time. Maybe you consider yourself, well, you believe. I mean, you accept that there's a God, but you don't know if you have a relationship with Him. You're not sure if you know Him. If you could be sure today, before you leave this room, that you have a connection, a real relationship, not religion, not being a part of a church, but did you actually know God for yourself? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll just open that door, I'll come in and dine with you." In other words, I'll have a relationship with you. But He's going to stay on the outside until you open the door. He's not going to kick the door down into your heart. He's not going to crash into your life and invade. He's just knocking, and you hear His knock in your life. You think about your story. You think about the last few weeks or months, and you could say, "I believe God's been knocking. I believe he's trying to get my attention." That's right. And you don't want to be a Jonah. You don't want to run away from God. You want to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with that." If that's you, I want to pray for you. So just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm not sure I know God. I'm not sure that I have a relationship. Just wave a hand at me, okay? Just lift it up. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Sure, you're going to know God. See, it's easy. It's simple. It's easy to come to God. It's not hard. God bless you. It's simple. He's knocking on the door. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to pray for you. And I believe God's going to touch you. Now, Father, I pray for every person raising their hand. And I know there's a few in this room that didn't raise their hand, but they relate to what I'm saying. They're away from you, and they want to know you, and they want it bad. Lord, I'm asking that you would touch every person's heart, online, in the cafe, right here in this auditorium, across our three campuses. Touch people, Lord. And strengthen them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And draw them into eternal life. Give them the confidence, the assurance that their sins are washed away. Begin this new process in them powerfully, Lord, in Christ's name. Now, guys, everyone look right at me. You raised your hand, and the rest of you. We like to do this together as a church. Today, I don't have a prayer on the screen. I'm just gonna lead you in a simple prayer of opening your heart to the Lord. I'd like everyone to say this prayer if you'll kind of go along with me. And let's really seal our decision today. We're going to love people. We're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're going to let him use us. Amen. Just say this prayer with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me of my many failures. I too have sinned. I've messed up. I need you in my life, God. I don't want to live far from you. I want to follow you. I want you to bless me and use me. Give me your heart. Give me a new heart, God, and use me from this day forward. Despite my imperfections, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, for those that prayed that prayer for the very first time, let's the rest of us tell them what we think about that. What do you think about that? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never prayed that way before, we'd like to say hello to you, and that's why our prayer teams are here as well. If you need healing prayer, we believe God's a healer. We believe that God will touch you. He'll love you. He'll minister to you. If you need any kind of prayer today, that's what these folks are up here for. So when the service is over, please just come say hello to them. Tell them, hey, I got a family member that's in trouble. My mom's in the hospital. I just gave my heart to the Lord. I just want extra prayer, and we'll be glad to pray for you. I love each and every one of you. If I could have a microphone, maybe I can just, oh, you got one. Wonderful. I'm going to have Pastor Sam Beckworth and his wife, Kim, do the blessing. Okay, so here's how we like to do it. We have the power to bless. You have the power to receive blessing. So I want you to lift your hands, all right? And he's going to pitch, and you guys are going to catch, okay? All right, praise the Lord.
The Lord. Let the blessing. You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and
give you peace. No evil will befall you this week, nor any plague come near your dwelling. For the Lord gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Everything you set your hands to this week would prosper. Every place the sole of your feet would tread, God gives it to you as a possession. The Lord is your sun and shield.
He
gives you grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold, for you are his righteousness in Christ Jesus. The Lord bless you today.
Amen. That's a good blessing. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Love you, Pastor Sam. Love you, Kim. Let's do this together. All right, now, everybody, just take a minute, say hello to somebody that you don't know that might be from Clovis, all right? And they're your new cousin, all right? So love each other, fellowship. If you need prayer this morning, please come. And don't forget, next week, special meeting, 1 o'clock, after the second service.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.